You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions radio, red heat and rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Rage! Sir, alongside the raging redhead, Ken.
Rage!
Stewart.
Rage! Rage! Rage on, friend.
It's Surly Wednesday.
It is hump day, Surly day.
Here on Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. I guess you could argue every day is sort of Surly day.
But kinda.
Today's just a little little extra saltier today. But Mark Lawrence will join us.
Hey, he's a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, so we could be bitter and sort of just, complain about things for the first 20 minutes of the program. Then Mark comes on. Hey, guys.
Hey, friendly. Database. Yeah. Fun.
And then we got Lou coming on later.
Oh, Gamblu. Great guy.
It's hard to be uptight when Lou is around.
That's a good point. Two great guys.
Yeah. But we can. It's easy to be uptight when Tony Cincata is around. So we can get back to our surliness in the 6 o'clock hour. With the Tony Cincata, and I'm pulling a Tony today. I'm actually firing off multiple lineups here.
Digging deep.
NBA, yeah. I like the board so much tonight in DraftKings NBA that I'm like, man, I got to put another lineup together right now with this, with this lineup and these guys. Tough betting board here this evening. Once again, we did better than worse last night. Last night, the National Hockey League frustrated me a little bit. I was on the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're up 3-0. They lose.
Yeah, they pissed that one away.
I'm on the Philadelphia Flyers. They're down 3-1. They come back. They tie it 3-3. They're down 4-3. They tie it late 4-4, only to lose in a shootout. It's frustrating.
Losing shootouts is the worst. That's the thing.
So do I.
Like, if you actually look at our track record of shootouts since we've been betting, probably at about like 23%. Like, I'll lose.
I don't say this about every sport either. Like, I don't lose every college football game that goes to overtime.
Yeah.
Like, when a college football game goes to overtime, I'm not like, oh, I'm screwed. Like, I can't win.
Oh, you can win.
Like, Major League Baseball extra innings, sort of hit or miss. You know, it is what it is. You win some, you lose some, but NHL shootouts, it's no joke. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I've probably been involved with about, let's say, 300 shootouts, like, over the years. I've probably won about, like, 10 to 15 of them.
That's a bad percentile. And the worst
like,
is...
No,
seriously.
Once,
I know.
Once every 2 months, I'll win it. Like, honestly, like, I swear to God, off the top of my head, I know for a fact, I won a shootout with Vegas, like, in November.
And that's the only one you
that's
could have.
That's the only time that I remember winning a shootout this year.
Notebooks.
And I did win a couple of shootouts in the Olympics, actually.
Yes.
I did win a good call.
That's Olympics,
I won a shootout or two in the Olympics.
Problem is,
I also lost a shootout or two in the Olympics.
Yeah, hey, in the final of the women's game. Hey, the problem is.
No, I'm not exaggerating, Cam. Like, I've literally lost 97.7% of all shootouts that I'm involved with.
Shootouts blow. And it's
uncanny.
And these books now what they're doing, a lot of them, I love the buyout option. I just want to get my bet. Like, I don't even want to deal with the shootout. Know what they do? Locked. Like, a lot of the books
once
that I play my
shootout.
Yeah. I just thought I could buy back. You know, it's 50-50.
It's a little late.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, well, I think there should be an option. At our sports book, at our sports book, you're going to offer 5.5 rocks. That's curling. I should be able to at least buy it when it's supposed to be 50-50 in the shootout.
That's like calling the stockbroker to ask if you can get your money back. Can I buy out with the stocks when you're watching the news and the company's plummeting? Can I get out of this thing?
That already happened to me, Morenci. The only time I ever got a stock tip was from a rich guy with a boat. And I went water skiing with him. He's like, oh, this communication stock Nortel. Can't miss. I put all my money into it. I could have just basically, I could have returned beer bottles for more.
Yeah, you probably would have gotten more. Yeah, the blue chip stocks aren't always
they
what they're cracked out
be. Blue chip.
So that's why we always say, like, there's no such thing as a lock.
No.
In sports betting. For every lock, there's a key.
There is.
Now, the match play started.
Oh, yeah. We've had some good results so far, buddy. This is, like, so let's hope the thing starts like this. We had Ty Hatton won his first match. That's good. We have a piece of Hideki. He did his business. Things are going well there.
I have a 400-to-1 parlay.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, a 400-to-1 parlay. I need Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, Ty Hatton, Matsuyama, and Fleetwood all to win their groups.
Dude, you're going to start to – you used to love Stevie Nicks. You're going to hate Fleetwood Mac pretty soon. If he's losing in his match, but it's the first match. Poulter's up he's two up through 14 holes, but it's not over. Maybe he can come back and salvage something. It's some magic with the last four holes.
Yeah, it'll be disappointing if the rest of them actually advance.
I don't want to give the old Barry Horowitz or talk before something's over, Gabe, but I said about watch out for Rory McIlroy coming off the win. I don't like the situation. Remember, I got Peter Uihlein at 175-to-1 to win this thing. He's up on Rory, three up through eight holes right now.
Yeah, I knew Rory was.
I bet him today. Guess what the line was? +230.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it's not over yet because Rory could turn it on a dime, but it's a good start.
You just bet the head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, I did. I did head-to-head matchup, and I have Uihlein to win the tournament, which is not going to happen. But it's just more of a fade on McIlroy.
So we'll keep our eye on this throughout the afternoon. We'll talk Sweet 16, college basketball. We got NIT action tonight as well. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, will join us. Lou will join us, and I'll just express my frustrations with the UFC when Lou comes on. Although we do have a really good fight coming up in a couple of weeks, but they seem to be few and far between right now. They're really major, sort of everybody's talking about them type of fights. And I'm not talking about the freak show circus stupid fights that, you know, it's a big mistake, man. You went with Connor and Floyd. Connor hasn't fought in since. The company's gotten cold. The biggest event in the past year wasn't even your event. It was a Floyd Mayweather, but it was boxing.
It was boxing.
It wasn't like, you guys made money off it. But, you know, I was surprised, you know, for smart guys like this that they sort of, they're really thinking with short-term vision all the time now. They're basically, how can we make money today, this month? How can we fleece this network for a contract? How can we... You know, and don't worry about it. We'll figure it out in 2 months. You know, well, what if we do this now? What are we going to do in 4 months? Don't worry about it. You know, listen, I live my life like that. But
you don't want your
that's why I'm
like,
not. That's why I'm not the head of a $4 billion operation.
Great point, Morenzi. Like, I will say this, though, because you're like, hey, you got me into UFC, but I'm even going to tell you back in the day. Here's from my perspective from a guy that, you know what I mean? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch every single card. I'm not as hardcore as you, but I'm into it because the last couple times it's been okay. But I remember, Gabe, back in the day, we used to have parties, we used to have fights, because there was good cards every month or whatever. If you're going to throw this stuff out like week after week after week, the product's going to get saturated. It's saturated right now, and it's not very good.
No, you're exactly right.
It's not special anymore.
Yeah, I haven't gone out of my way to see a UFC event in years, to be honest with you. And I used to go all the time and be like, man, I can't miss this. I got to be in Vegas for this card. I've got to, I used to go to, various cities to see the UFC. Now, like, basically, I don't know if I'd cross the street. And, honestly, and I'm still a fan. Like, I enjoy it. I watch it. The fights have been good recently, actually. It's been a lot
the
of
last
violence.
Couple, yeah, true.
The cards have been good, but it's just the direction of the company is not a good one right now. But that's not my problem.
You're saying as a stock, you wouldn't buy.
No, but speaking of stocks... Sam Darnold's stock is going up right now because, Sam Darnold's having a good pro day today. And I'm not a fan of Sam Darnold. And, I don't like picking on these kids. I don't want to tear this kid apart or anything like that. But I don't know, Cam. Like, do you recall USC winning a lot of big football games like over the last couple of years with Sam Darnold?
No, I recall a program that actually – starts very, very weak out of the gate. They come out very, very poorly, and then they try to make a run at the end to do something and just fall a little bit short.
It's like, that's USC football. Sam Darnold measures 9.38-inch hands. Like, I don't give a crap, man.
Actually, I do want a quarterback with big hands, though. I want big monster mitts, like a butcher.
Jamarcus Russell had big hands.
Yeah, that didn't work out. Yeah, I know. He did a lot of bad things though when he was in the league game.
I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of this pro day stuff. It's basically like getting a job interview and telling the company you want to work for, yeah, you know what? I can't travel to come in right now. You better come to my house where I'm more comfortable. I'll be at my best when I'm sitting on my own couch in a controlled environment. I get it. It's part of the process, this pro day stuff. But the thing with me with Sam Darnold is he doesn't seem to handle the pressure. It seems to be labored for him. He's not having fun on the field. You don't see him smile a lot. He sort of puts a lot of pressure on himself. And, you know, the footwork's not great. The interceptions aren't there. We're too many for me. And the big games.
You didn't
losing
show up in
at
big
Washington
games.
State, yep. Getting killed, man. Just eaten alive by Ohio State in the bowl game. A lot of hanging his head. Like, Josh Rosen got beat up at times. He was on a worse team. Like, I'll guarantee to you, if Josh Rosen was on the USC Trojans, they would have been better.
But think
like,
about
Rosen
this.
Was on a bad team, but you'd see him. He'd be, like, on the sidelines with Mora, sort of, like, eager to get back in.
Yes, well,
even if they were down 21 or whatever, he'd be like, come on. And even Mora would be like, dude, we're down 28. You're getting killed. We're going to take you out. Rosen just sort of has that constant competitiveness. I'm not saying Darnold's not a competitor. He's a good quarterback. I'm just stating I'm not in love with Darnold as his top five savior, Cam, at all.
Listen to this one. You can use that example of Rosen. Go all the way back in the calendar to the crazy game versus A&M. They were absolutely getting throttled in that game.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, they were down like 30, 31 points, I think it was. And he came back. He looked at Moore and said, you know what? We're not done in this game. We're not done. They came back. They came back. They came back. And they actually won. That's true. The thing about that kid is they've been in situations where they were getting throttled. Even when the game in Memphis, they didn't win, he battled. The numbers were good. He made plays when he had to make plays. Opposite, you're absolutely right about Darnold and games. Like Washington State, come on, Gabe. My cousin played there. They got one of the worst defenses in the United States. Like, I don't care if they can put up 45. They're not good.
That's another thing,
they're
too.
Not good.
Why do people call him Sam Darnold? I often hear that. It's Darnold.
Darnold, yeah, exactly.
It's Darnold.
Yeah,
it's Darnold.
That's what I call him.
I know. Well,
I guess is he from the Bayou?
No.
Crawfish?
No, he's from California.
Yeah, so it should.
His name is Sam Darnold.
If he went to LSU,
but I always say Darnold. Yeah. It's like, it's not Darnold. It's like, it's Darnold. But I hear a lot of people, Sam Darnold. It's not. It's Sam Darnold.
Yeah, if he's from Jambalaya
Listen,
country,
I'm no linguistics,
be a French
I'm no linguistics yeah. expert, but it's not complicated. Darnold.
Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah, supposedly the Cleveland Browns like him with the number one pick.
No, so Cleveland.
That's all you need to know.
No, Cleveland. Don't. No, Cleveland.
You got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, how's that going to work out for you? You know, he's going to battle.
It's going to work out well
he's
for
gonna
him.
He's going to battle. Well, I like the wins over, too. Though Cleveland's going to get probably how many wins next year? I'm thinking they can get 6 or 7. I think it's going to be a huge improvement from last year. But growing pains. You don't have to throw a kid in there. Now let your boy do his thing. Let the double T do it. And then you put in the kid. That's the problem with Cleveland. They threw Kaiser to the Wolves.
You know how many quarterbacks from UFC from USC, did I say UFC?
Yeah, UFC.
How many quarterbacks from the UFC? How many quarterbacks from USC have won a Super Bowl before?
The answer is zero.
Yeah, none. Like, there's no success with USC Trojan quarterbacks. They all look good in college, too.
They actually and are usually good-looking fellas, too. Like, they got that look. Hey, I'm a quarterback. Like,
well,
Carson
they all look,
everybody else.
Yeah, they all look the part. That's exactly. Carson Palmer. That's actually not a bad example, actually. I think Sam Darnold could be a sort of Carson Palmer type. Serviceable, like good. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm not saying he's a bust, but
well, who's
Carson Palmer's all right. He's not great.
What about Hot Tub and Matt Leinart? That's a bust.
I mean, basically, USC Trojan quarterbacks are like the Kardashians. They're good looking at first, but they're going to cost you a lot of money and a lot of grief in the end.
Yeah, and get really annoying.
And they're going to ruin you. So you're going to end up like Lamar Odom, smoking crack, getting wasted at the Bunny Ranch and stuff like that. I'm not saying Darnold's a bad kid or anything like that, but I'm not even in love with Josh Allen, to be honest, but I like Josh Allen better than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think Allen's a lot better, too.
Josh Allen's got a...
He showed up. He's a prototypical NFL quarterback.
He's a Phillip Rivers type, Josh Allen. He's religious. He's rah-rah. If he throws a pick, he doesn't care. Oh, we'll go get him. Let's go. He's like a... clap type on the sidelines.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah, he's
you
want
to have a short memory, man.
Yeah,
short
memory. People will like to play around him. He's a competitor, almost like a Ben Roethlisberger type with Josh Allen. His accuracy's a little off. That can be taught. Listen, Darnold's good, but I think he more looks the part, Cam. And you just called it. It's that USC thing. You look at him, oh, he's big, and he's got this arm and stuff. It's like, yeah, I guess, but didn't they all? So did
yeah, they're all can't miss guys, and
Josh
a lot
Booth.
Of them missed. Yep.
You know, I'm not sure how much better. Put it this way, I'm not sure how much better Sam Darnold is than Cody Kessler. the kid that the Browns took in the fourth round.
Oh, I don't think he's much better than Cody Kessler.
No.
Cody Kessler, actually,
when Cody Kessler was at USC, he did all the same things Sam Darnold did.
Exactly. Actually, in some games, showed up more.
They went on a run. But if you look at the USC Trojans, man, they struggled. They struggled against Western Michigan. They got their ass handed by Ohio State. I think it was the Wazoo game that they lost. You go down the list, there were a lot of games. The Texas game earlier in the year, there were a lot of games where USC just barely won the game. Darnold wasn't great, but he had a couple of drives. I don't know, man. Like, Darnold had all the pressure of being the number one pick. Remember last year, people, oh, you should leave. This guy's the next coming. And I remember, too, people were like, oh, everyone's going to, like, you're going to tank to get Sam Darnold. And I remember Darnold saying, and I actually like him for saying this. They said, how do you feel about word that the New York Jets are going to tank this year so they have the number one pick so they can draft you? And he said, any team that's tanking so they can get
me. I don't want to play for.
No, he said any
and
team.
And I like that.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that?
No.
That's what he should have said.
Let me finish the story. He didn't say that. He said any team that's tanking for me is crazy. That's what he said.
That's pretty bad, too.
And, he was being honest here in that I think he sort of sent out the message there that, listen, I'm just a guy. I'm not the savior here. You'd almost want him to say, you know what, I'm glad they're tanking because I'm going to save that franchise, and I can't wait to go in there and take it over. But he said any team is going to tank for me, man. They're nuts. Basically stating, hey, I'm just a kid. What do you expect from me?
Doesn't sound very confident.
But he's going to make a lot of money. I'm just hoping he doesn't go to Buffalo. California kid in the snow.
Not cool.
I can handle Rosen, but I don't want Darnold. I've been wrong before with these.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions. Red Heat and Rage Radio continues. Fantasy Sports, a radio network. Don't forget, DailyRoto.com. Dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contest this summer with Daily Roto's MLB projections and optimizer. Go to DailyRoto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And the tools just don't work for baseball, for football. This is the same site that Drew used last year for top $550,000 DraftKings live final finish. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium. Save 10% with the promo code FNTSY and see the results for yourself. Yeah, it's tough to go to war with people when you don't have the same weapons.
That's a good point. A jackknife versus a machine gun.
Yeah, you bring a little box cutter.
Drew
Dinkmeyer is bringing the optimizer.
Exactly. He's bringing grenades and assault rifles.
The optimizer, man. That thing's like a big ray gun.
The optimizer takes out cities.
Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now. Playbook.com, the premier gaming newsletter in the business by far. Mark, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing just terrific, Gabe. How are you and Cam doing?
Always a pleasure.
We're hanging in there, buddy.
You know what? We've had better days, better weeks, better years, better lives.
Not much going on right now, right?
but like I said earlier, it's hard to be grumpy when we're talking to you, Mark. We're like, you know, I'm not in the best of moods, but you know, Mark's such a nice guy. It'll be nice to talk to Mark Lawrence.
I feel like Santa Claus, guys. Jeez, that's.
Are you bringing winners?
Yeah, winners or gifts?
You're bringing,
yes.
You're bringing winners. I mean,
big sack of winners.
Have you been good or bad? That's the question.
Very bad.
Very bad. But we still want gifts.
Yeah. Nah, you know what? I've been very good, but the gifts don't come. Yeah. So now I've realized I might as well just be bad.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. But nevertheless, let's jump in here right now. Now, these are some notes courtesy of this week's newsletter, the Sweet 16 newsletter, a wealth of information. But for the third time in the last 4 years, a total of six teams returned to the Sweet 16 after having been there the previous season, including Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Purdue, and West Virginia. According to Mark Lawrence's database, since 1992, teams making a right back appearance in the Sweet 16 are 85-52 straight up.
Woo!
But just 61-70-5 against the spread. Something to keep our eye on because a lot of these teams, you know, I sort of think, Gonzaga advances, but I'm not in a hurry to lay 5.5, 6 points in this game. Similar situation with the Kentucky Wildcats this week. I guess you could argue the same about Kansas as well, Mark.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a good gauge, the Sweet 16 returnees, for at least teams that maybe make it to the Elite Eight round. But you're talking against the spread here, and the fact of the matter is the majority of the teams don't beat the number, the Sweet 16 returnees. And there's some good spots that are better than others, if you will. One in particular is a role that Michigan is in this week that, you know, a lot of the public is going to be all over the Wolves this weekend. But, you know, you find these teams that are these returnees that did not win by double digits in their last game, and if they happen to be a 3 or lower seed, they're only 3-13 straight up and 3-12-1 to the number. So that works against Michigan in a role like this. So you can use these returnees with a little bit of salt on them, if you would, because they can be good on one side and really bad on the other.
Yeah, Mark, an auto-tune times two, but betters, we forget, things are different the next time around. Like you look at Michigan, they squeak by Houston on a buzzer beater, and A&M, these guys are throttling North Carolina, right? People have short memories and stuff, but you can't look at that type of stuff when you're betting right now. And I'm looking at the statistics that Gabe brought up, but the returnees, though, recently in the spread, but in the five games ATS last year, 3 wins, no losses, and 2 pushes when you break it down from those teams just last year, no losses. So that's a pretty good sign for these returnees.
Yeah, they did a nice job last basketball season, unquestionably. None of them got beat to the spread. Looking deeper into this thing, you can break these things down by seeds as well. And this all gets to one of the points I want to make about these Sweet 16 teams is number one seeds that return back do well. They're 29-2 straight up. So very seldom will you see a number one seed that was there last year get bounced in the Sweet 16 round. And the game that I'm going to, you have Villanova and Kansas, obviously, the two number ones that are still alive here. But if you break down these number one seeds and they're taking on beatable foes, the guys that have a win percentage of less than 800, they're 20-0 and 5-0 straight up into the number when they're not a favorite of 6 or more. That's the Kansas Jayhawks. The team I personally feel is the Rodney Dangerfield of this Sweet 16 lot here. The number one seed getting no respect whatsoever. They go from, you take a look, guys, at the current odds to win this whole thing. You got Kansas, the sixth best team to win this whole thing here. My goodness, at 8.5-1 and the number one seed. So, you know, what have they done to warrant this? The answer is I don't know.
I don't know why Duke is favored to win right now, to be honest with you, either. I think they're overpriced. And, you know, I brought that up, too. I've been banging the Kansas drum. Well, I'm always on Kansas, but I've been banging the Kansas drum all year. They've been underrated. Last week, Mark, it was a joke, or 2 weeks ago, when West Virginia were actually favorites against them in the Big 12 championship game. But, you know, I never get the credit for being right as much as I am. But I said this on the March Madness preview show. They asked which team, and the tournament hadn't even started yet. It was on a Monday, days away before the tournament started. And they said, which team do you think will have, like, would cover both games and just cruise through no problem, win and cover both games? I said Villanova. And here's Mark Lawrence's Sweet 16 incredible stat of the week. Number one seeds in the Sweet 16 round, back-to-back, straight up, and ATS wins are 18-0 straight up and 15-3 against the spread since 1991, which leads us into the Villanova Wildcats, who I actually think are going to ultimately win the national championship. And that leads us right into your cold diggity dog, Mark. Not the ugly dog, but the cold dog, shivering dog. bad owners, man, leaving him outside.
Exactly.
It's like those dogs you see on the commercials of Sarah McLachlan crying. Cole Diggity Dog, another major role. Sweet 16 returnees have a difficult time responding. Comes whenever they're placed in an underdog position. Simply put, these teams coming off the Sweet 16 are 4-17 straight up, 6-14-1 as underdogs when facing 840 or greater opponents, including 2-13 straight up and just 3-12 against the spread when those foes are off a straight up ATS win. It's just like a it's a bad recipe for West Virginia. It's like West Virginia's got a lot of bad trends here. Villanova have a lot of trends. The game is played on the court, but Villanova are just so damn good.
Villanova's, I think, the team to beat here right now at this stage. Here, they shoot so incredibly well, the best shooting team in the tournament here. And I'm going to zero back to what we started this conversation about, is what has Duke done to deserve being the favorite at this point? And my answer is real simple. Let me ask you guys a question here. What do diehard Duke fans and a bucket of, I don't know if I can say this or not, but a bucket of shit have in common?
Duke fans in a bucket of shit.
Wow, that's a tough question.
Wow. Give me a second.
A bucket of shit.
I don't know. What is it?
Tough.
The bucket.
The bucket.
Wow.
Wow, Mark, that's strong. I didn't see that one come. We're saying that's the bucket. Oh, Mark, that's amazing.
Wow. Never heard that one before.
You guys are killing me. You with the dogs out in the cold, Mark, with a shit bucket.
Yeah, never. Well, no love for Mark Lawrence, man, for Duke Buddha. Hey, my favorite line of all time, too, is Billy Packer. Billy Packer, right before he got canned at the end, he started to get surly and stuff. We had him on the show, too. He's actually a nice guy to me. And I loved him for saying this, but I guess, like, the Duke students and, like, cheerleaders were in his way. He went to the bathroom. He was doing a game, and he came back. He was like, get the hell out of my way. And he told him, I hate coming here. And I guess he looked over and he goes, oh, by the way, you know, you're the ugliest cheerleaders in the ACC. That's what Billy Packer told a bunch of cheerleaders.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Billy Packer called out the cheerleaders and CBS and everyone. They weren't pleased. Like, it was near the end of the line for Billy.
But those are still the fans, guys, that go, you will work for us one day. Like, you know what I mean? You got to come back at that stuff, eh? We're not going to be a servant to Duke.
I hate Duke. I would actually know. So what do you think? You think Syracuse can hang around getting the double digits, Mark?
Hey, before I get there, let me do a take two, guys. I blew that story. That story should have been, what is the difference between Duke fans and a bucket of shit? Okay, the difference is the bucket.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we still got it.
Okay, cool.
Moral of the story, Duke fans are piles of shit. Yeah,
that's exactly the moral of the story. Yeah. That's exactly.
Sorry, Duke. Right now, some Duke fans tuning
in. Duke fans like, burning up the keyboard.
It's a little harsh.
It was like last night when I was
ripping Gary Bettman, somebody sent me an email tweet going, I wish he would just drop dead. I mean it. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little harsh. I just said I wish he retired.
Yeah, exactly. I got a new job.
You start wishing people drop dead, you're going to get hit by a bus yourself. So better be careful with that, buddy. All right, so Syracuse. Listen, I was on the Cuse. I've been riding this Cuse train.
It's a good train.
Difference is, we all know, and you know, I'll play Billy Packer right now. Obviously, the zone defense, if you can shoot the three, but not just shoot the three, but if you can lob it over the zone into a big man in the middle, you can beat up on Syracuse pretty good. They've got Bagley in the middle. I've just found, Mark, that the public, and we look at this as an indication of Duke being favored to win right now, which is crazy, that the public likes Duke more than they should. You know, to me, like, the spread should probably be 7 or 8 in this game, not 11.5. Like, Duke just are overpriced, and it's a lot of points. The only thing is, Syracuse, Cam, they're like a football team that runs the ball. If they fall behind, like the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens.
Or Navy.
If they fall behind, they're in trouble. Like, if Duke just started raining threes and it's 38-17, they're not coming back. They can't come back. But they've got athletes. What do you make of this game, Mark?
Well, you got the obvious, the two all-time winningest coaches in college basketball history, both ARP card holders here, 71, 73 years old. The oddity here is they met 20 years ago in this tournament. They're the only two coaches that have revenge from a game 20 years ago that are still coaching the same two teams. They've been there and done that, okay? But what I do like about Syracuse in this game is the fact that Duke does not play well as double-digit favorites in this turn, in this round here, the Sweet 16 round, when they're coming off of a straight up an ATS win in this tournament, I should say. They're 1-8. The last nine times they've laid doubles coming off a straight up and point spread win are the Duke Blue Devils. This is a big, thick, rich number. They laid 13.5 at home earlier this year when they pounded Syracuse. They're laying 11.5 here. It'll be 12 when they tip this thing off. So you're getting value to Syracuse on a neutral court for this number here. And I love Boeheim. I mean, Boeheim, when he's been in the tournament and he's off an underdog win like he is, the comeback the next game, he's 8-4 straight up, 9-3 to the number here. I think this game is 60 to the winner, and you have to grab 11.5 when you're talking 60 to the winner.
Hey, Mark, Gabe and I want our ARP card so we can get cheap food when we go back to Vegas. I like the deals that they have for those guys. But
you do, huh? You can use mine. You can use mine, okay?
Thank you. I love the database, Mark. Great stuff you did breaking down the Gonzaga-Florida State game. I love this. Great stuff in pointing to the Zags. Their scoring margin, plus 16.7 in comparison to Florida State's 7.4. Also, out of the teams left, Florida State giving up the most points, too, at 73.2. Good situation. Zags have had time to prepare. The database says, go Zags, go Mark Few.
Well, that's what that is. It's all about the stats. If you're just a stat player here, you got to like Gonzaga in this basketball game here. I know the number's a little bit ugly, as Gabe said here. You don't like yourself laying these kind of points at this stage of the season here, but Florida State is probably, arguably, the one team that doesn't belong here right now. You can say Nevada, you could say Loyola, but I think Florida State is the one team that when they entered this tournament, you didn't expect to see them in the Sweet 16 round. And when you have a defensive liability, when you allow more points per game than any team in the tournament, I think you're in trouble, and I'm with the Zags in this game as well.
Mark, unfortunately, as a Michigan fan, I'm all too aware of the Big Ten general struggles against the SEC in football, but unfortunately, it looks like it translates to basketball, specifically for the Michigan Wolverines as well, as they generally struggle against SEC teams, specifically away from home. 3-11-1 against the spread their last 15 games on away from Ann Arbor against SEC teams. This game, Michigan to me against Texas A&M, I think it's another one that just comes down to the wire. I think Michigan will get it done late, but it wouldn't shock me if Michigan won by one or two again.
I think this is going to be a defensive battle here again. Two really, really good defenses here. You got Beilein, who we all know is really good in the postseason here, but the one thing John Beilein's never done in his career is beat a Southeast Conference team to the spread. He's been there seven games. He's 0-6-1 to the spread in those seven games, and he's laying points to a pretty good A&M Aggie basketball team here right now. And Billy Kennedy, I mean, he's been in the seven NCAA tournament games. He's won and covered five of those seven here. I got to grab up the points. If I see three here, a full three with the Aggies, I'll be riding them in this game as well.
Yeah, but you and all the hipsters, Mark, you guys are making a number go down, though, so now it's coming down. It's 2.5. I'm hoping it comes down even more. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left here right now. Loyola Chicago and Nevada. Oh,
the Cinderella game.
Yeah, interesting game. One of these teams going to be going to the Elite Eight.
Well, you know, I think right now, you know, the team, the divine intervention has helped Loyola get here right now with the nun and everything. They've done a great job, but they deserve where they are. Yeah, Sister Jean, they deserve where they are. They're the best offensive shooting team in this tournament here, offensive field goal percentage-wise. They play really sticky defense here. I like the makeup of this basketball team here. And you take them away from home this year, Loyola, 16-4 straight up, 15 points spread wins. They know how to get the job done here. I think Nevada is riding on a champagne high in this basketball game right now. What they did was unprecedented. I'm with Loyola. I'm with the Ramblers in this game.
Nothing like a champagne high, but headaches the next day.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Nevada has only led in this tournament for 4 minutes and 24
seconds. I know, that's
seconds.
What I was just going to tell them.
They're in the
and
Sweet 16.
And they're favored. Yeah, in the Sweet 16. Unbelievable.
Mark Lawrence doesn't like you, Duke fan, but he's still got a great playbook. Playbook.com. He's just kidding. Thanks, Mark.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Boy, Fred Courier checking in from Las Vegas.
Shout out to Fred Courier, actually. I got
he's living at the Bellagio, though, not Circus. Yeah. Circus.
No, Fred Courier's a successful guy. Shout out, Fred. Thanks. I got the package last night. I got a Fusillo pullover, Gabe. Great for the golf course.
Huge.
And yeah, it's a double XL, too. It fits.
See, the Bellagio looks nice.
It looks.
I'm not disputing the niceness of it.
It's too nice for me.
Yeah,
I kind of like it.
They're not serving $5 mango daiquiris.
No, those drinks at the Bellagio are a cool 17.
Dude, I went to the Mirage, actually, with that Clay Travis thing. Went to the Mirage. I ordered a vodka cran, $13.
I wanted to play the game. I was actually going to say 12. I was going to get real close there.
Yeah, it was 12. Whatever. It was $12.75.
Yeah, a double's $20.
It was $15, essentially. I gave him $2, right? It was 13. She put $7. What am I going to do? Well, here's one.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually did leave one. Then I realized that I'm in a Mirage.
Leave two.
I left two. She wasn't. She sort of gave me the look after. I put the other one
there.
There you go. It's like, whatever. Are you happy? You got me for 15. Right away, too. I looked over at Sheldog. I said, I'm leaving after this drink.
Exactly.
I actually bought two drinks there, and I was down $30. I'm like, all right, I'm $30 at Circus, man.
$30 at Circus goes a long way.
You're getting like four big mango daiquiris from Vince Neil, $7.50 a piece.
And or strawberry if they're still slush. So, yeah, no, I love both of those, man. Those drinks were fantastic.
T-Bone's on his way to Vegas, just getting on a plane, our boy. Circus continues. Too bad we're not all there together, but it's the merry-go-round of Vegas. Hopefully, we'll have a get-together one day in the future.
I hope so, buddy. Hope we can get back. I'm gonna tell you, I didn't realize, like, when I stayed at the El Cortez, I thought it was, like, the biggest, like, cool dirtbag casino. But I got to tell you, Circus had a lot to offer right there. The drinks were cheap. The people were great. Everybody, like, it was nice. We didn't get kicked out for being, you know, for being wild. It was very, very positive reviews.
I'm trying to figure out if DeMar DeRozan is going to be playing tonight.
That's a great question. Well, they said he was resting for this game against Cleveland tonight.
Supposedly.
That's supposedly. But the way they play, they find ways to win with anybody, the second unit. So there's no real need or emergency to play him. But I would assume he's going to play against LeBron at Cleveland.
I believe local beat writer Michael Grange reports that DeMar is going to miss the game. But Michael Grange couldn't report the weather if he was naked in the Arctic.
That's true. I don't know how valid this report is. I don't actually believe it at all. I'm willing to bet against it, actually.
You know, all these stooges that cover the Toronto Raptors, they're talking about, like, last night and about other crap and this and that. How about letting me know who the star player is playing or not?
So you can put your damn DraftKings team
together. You know what I mean? You guys, your crap-ass networks, TSN and Sportsnet, you guys buy the rights to everything. You own them. You own the damn team. You cover the team. You keep people like me out of your dressing room. So do your damn job, all right? Do your damn job instead of right now patting yourself on the back, bitching about your damn jobs. You're a bunch of useless piles of crap like Duke fans.
Yeah, the Duke bucket.
Oh, you guys, Grange and Doug Smith. Yeah, Doug Smith, a real insider, right? I haven't learned one thing from Doug Smith in 22 years.
He's my neighbor.
Go to Eric Smith's Twitter account. The dude's tweeting about music right now.
Sorry. He's my neighbor.
You know what?
No, he's not a real friendly neighbor either. That's you can say whatever you want.
Oh, he's got DeMar. Yeah. No, he's got, oh, shout out to DeMar DeRozan because he's on the cover of Slam. Yeah.
Well, all right, is he playing tonight?
Is he playing tonight? I don't know. Okay, Eric Smith's tweeting about Josh Rosen. I can do that, Eric. I know I'm not the beat writer for the Raptors. I don't give a crap about Josh Rosen. That's not your job, all right?
No, your job is to cover
the
Raptors.
Let the Buffalo Bill beat writer handle the Josh Rosen to Bill talk. I got nothing against Eric Smith. I actually, you know, I like him.
He's not a bad guy.
I think he does a decent job. I'm just saying, you know, and he's dropping a ball on Twitter right now.
Yeah, we played in that celebrity football game. Well, he's pretty friendly.
You know, earlier I went on a little rampage online about all the useless Toronto media types, yeah. And I figured, you know what, Eric Smith's not bad. I bet you he has something. I go to Eric Smith, and no. What are you doing? Raptors outscore the Magic in the fourth quarter.
Thanks.
That was 18 hours ago, dude.
Magic cover.
Oh, man.
Let's see. You're like hot lava, I told you. Like, the lava is just getting to the top of a volcano. I'm not sure if it's going to erupt, but I can tell you, it's at a nice boil right now.
Let's see what my boy Leo Rowden is saying.
Oh, Leo, yeah. Go Syracuse. Go Cuse.
That's true.
That's what he's going to have on his Twitter. Go Cuse.
Yeah, we got to get him on later in the week.
Oh, yeah, he's fired up about Syracuse. We should try to get him on I agree. He'd love talking Syracuse basketball.
Leo's the best here. See, Leo's on top of it. Flying over Toronto, going to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
So he's on the way to Cleveland.
Nice. Yeah, he's
so I cut him some slack.
He's on the plane.
The thing is, Leo Rowden's not the beat guy. It's not Leo Rowden's job to re-report who's playing. It's Leo Rowden's job
to broadcast the damn game.
Broadcast who's playing.
And analyze the game.
He shows up. He sits down at the desk. It's not his job to be telling you who's going to play. I got no problem with Leo.
That Brissett kid from Syracuse looks pretty good, right, Morency? He's like really, literally down the street from me. He's fantastic. He is on fire.
So you said Eric Smith's your neighbor?
No, Doug Smith.
Oh, Doug Smith.
Doug Smith, yeah. Yeah, he actually lives directly across the street from my buddy Forbes, who you met, his girlfriend. I go over there. We used to go over there for parties all the time. Guy's just hacking darts all the time. Guy smokes a lot. He's a damn chimney.
He's a chimney.
Yeah, he loves to smoke. Anyway, you're right, though. I wouldn't mind some updates. If you're the beat writer of the team, like, it's time to get the information flowing, please.
All right, so... What's going on in the Gulf?
Oh, I got great news for you, buddy. You want some good news to keep the lava at bay? We got interesting stuff happening right now. We got some finals, right? Who else came in there? You got Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed, big winner, 3-2 over Hoatong Lee. That's in the bank. Some bad news for you. A shocker. Ian Poulter upsetting Tommy Fleetwood. That's not good for business. 3-2 for Poulter. But
what a pile of crap.
Yeah, steaming pile of Duke bucket. Kevin Chappell, Tony's guy. Hey, this one's for you, Steve. Team Shrimps, Kevin Chappell, 3-2 over Daniel the Hamburger, and Jason Day taking care of business early, beating James Hahn, 4-2. Gabe, I got to tell you something. I put $50 down on this at +240. My guys
win. Afra Barnrat's getting it done.
Oh yeah, Afra Barnrat's up one up through six on Chez Reedy. And what else do we got?
Paul Casey,
dude. Peter Uihlein. We got the shocker of the tournament right now. I thought they were going to laugh at me, so now I kind of sound decent on my golf show. Peter Uihlein is 5 up on Rory McIlroy through 11 holes. He's got to finish the deal.
Good.
+230. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not laying 270 with Rory McIlroy in a first-round bet.
He knew coming off
the win. No, yeah, off the win, too. He probably wants to get out of this tournament early and get ready for Augusta. It's only in a couple weeks.
I played a $5 parlay that pays $1,042. I need Paul Casey to win his group.
Yep.
I need Sergio Garcia to win his group.
Sergio is leading right now.
I need John Rahm to win his group.
John Rahm, 1-7 on Keegan Bradley.
I need Ty Hatton to win his group.
Ty Hatton has won his first match.
Yeah, and I need Hideki Matsuyama to win
his
group. That's
in the bag. Dude, you need Fleetwood to go on a heater, and that parlay's got a chance.
Yeah, why
way to go, Tommy.
Where's the cash-out option, man?
Yeah, that's a problem, yeah.
Froze. No bet to cash out.
Yeah, because Fleetwood lost. If he would have won, there would have been like a shining banner with lights. Cash out, you're cash right. out, if cash
they,
out,
they
cash
would offer me for my five probably like $125.
I'm thinking closer to $250. If every one of your first guys won the match, I think they'd get a little bit scared. They might give you a little bit more.
Who's Fleetwood play next?
Oh, that's a great, great question, Gabe. I gotta go to the, database for that one. Round two. Let's see who Fleetwood plays in round two.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Yeah. Hit some putts.
People told me lies that Fleetwood was a good play.
Uh-oh, it's not good. You and your friend from the DFS hour basically just butting heads. It's Kevin Chappell versus Tommy Fleetwood at 10:14 a.m.
Freaking
Texas
Chappell.
Time.
Chappell.
Chappell's pretty good. Uh-huh. Don't worry, Fleetwood might just, he might have just needed a wake-up call.
At least they caught the Unabomber 2.0.
In Austin?
For the tournament.
Unabomber 2.0.
Sure, these golfers are real excited about going to Austin.
I don't think it's right there, but it's a little bit. It is just outside of Austin. You're right, Gabe. It's right in that same vicinity. Good call. But this guy's bombs were like crazy old school stuff, like clothespins and like weird
pretty,
stuff.
Yeah, I got to give the kid credit.
That is insane, actually. When you really break it down, that's wild stuff.
You know how he got caught? Cell phone.
Really? Interesting.
Cell phone.
I watched a show
They were very smart, technology nowadays. So basically the feds turned on like a net, sort of like imagine a computer screen net.
A huge net.
Of all phones. Every phone is tracked. People don't realize this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
every phone's like a little GPS tracker. So they can spot your location. So basically it's not a bad idea. They basically put a scan over all the phones around all the bombs, and they narrowed it down to this kid's number. They're like, look, this number is always in the vicinity. His cell phone is physically always in the vicinity. And it's not, it could be a coincidence once or twice.
Not all.
You're a jogger, whatever. Yeah, I happen to be near it once. I happen to be near another location.
But not six times.
Nah, when you get to six and seven times and the same phone number keeps popping up, this phone is always in the vicinity of a bomb. It's pretty slick that they were able to narrow it down.
I got to be honest.
So moral of the story is, guys, if you're going to do something serious, don't bring your phone with you.
That's another thing. That's a great call.
If you turn it off, they can track
guys
it as well.
Get caught on Dateline and 2020 all the time. When the guy murders his wife, you're taking the phone with you on the trip? They have it right there. It's like, wow, man, you went to the desert.
Everybody needs their phone. Like, wants to check Facebook.
Just keep the phone at home, man, or bury it somewhere. Get a secondary phone.
When I lived in Vegas, it was one of the first days that I moved there, too. And it was right by my building. It was right out of CSI. So it was literally like I looked out my balcony and I saw sort of like the cops and the whole nine yards. So basically, this dude, it was a taxi driver. There was a taxi driver in Vegas, and he was separated from his wife. And his wife actually, the taxi driver was the guy having the affair with the wife. So it was just a dude in Vegas. I don't know what his job was. Separated from his wife, there was like a local taxi driver that started seeing his wife. But they were separated.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was sort of classic stuff. He used to go and knock on the door and yell and cause a scene on the lawn and, kind of the crazy guy. So everyone knew him in the neighborhood. So basically, like, there was that scene where he showed up and big scene. And then basically the taxi driver disappeared. All right. But there was no proof. So basically, but the guy was slick, man. He went up to the Red Rock Mountains and stuff up in the canyon, and he came back, but he left the car outside my condo in Vegas. That's where I came.
Yep.
And the cops were there, and they found just a speck of blood on the car and stuff. But
could have had a paper cut.
Yeah, but the guy was slick, man. He had alibis. It was like one of these.
It was planned.
Yeah, it was like, and would he be that stupid to get into an argument with the guy in front of everyone and then go drive him into the desert and kill him? And there was no evidence, basically. And I remember it was like a week or something, and people were like, come on, guys. It's pretty much,
guy did it.
Yeah, it's got to be him. And then finally they nailed him. They basically, same thing, his cell phone. They placed him. They had no other evidence besides the fact that what was he doing in the exact spot with your phone where the body was buried?
Phones get you.
They tracked the phone up to the exact spot up at Red Rock, and they were like, all right, dude. You got into a fight with the guy. Your phone is here. Like, you don't have blood on your hands, but and they were able to nail him with this. So these phones and your GPS and your phone is used against you. And and tracked.
Oh, that's how they get everybody all the time, buddy. I was watching some show, actually. Have you seen Lieutenant Kenda, Homicide Hunter?
Yeah.
He looks like Don Knotts. He's
Joe
like
Kenda.
Joe Kenda. He's a homicide hunter in Colorado Springs. Great show, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, that town's crazy. Like, a lot of things happening there. Like, you talk about the bombs in Austin. This guy bought a house, Marantz, and he was going through some because there's Colorado Springs, a lot of army bases and stuff like that. Guy went through a box. Guy just moved in the house, found a grenade, just blew up the neighborhood. Like, it's just, I'm telling you, that show, you see stuff that is absolutely unbelievable. I really request, like, people, if you're out there and you get that show, it's a lot of fun. Great, great show. One of my favorites.
You love those homicide shows.
I also like him because he's always like, you son of a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? He always cracks some jokes when he's tracking down guys and he acts tough. And he's got a great hairpiece. Great hairpiece.
You a fan of the first 48?
I used to be. It's getting a little bit stupid now. They're playing to the camera a little bit too much. Remember at first it was more like, hey, like we're catching these guys. Now the cops are like, hey, you know what I mean? They're acting all tough and they're trying to crack more jokes because they know the cameras are rolling. It used to be more raw.
If you notice, most of the homicide cops on the first 48, their method of investigation is basically to go back to the police station and wait for someone to snitch.
Exactly, like, exactly.
Well, you know, they're all like the voiceover. 36 hours later, there are still no leads until the phone rings.
Exactly.
Like, well, we got, all right, we're on it. It's like, great, great work, guys. What do you mean, great work? Somebody called it in. Like, somebody, like, always, you put a reward out, and somebody snitched, all right? That's what happened. Like,
they always go back to the pork and beans and never get the answers they need. Like, the people are like, it's this guy again. Like, you said it. They never get answers from the people. It's embarrassing. It's brutal.
The one thing about the people on that show, though, man, they're such bad liars and stuff.
Oh, they are. Like, the criminals are embarrassing.
It always goes from, I don't know what you're talking about, man. What body? I don't know, murder? And then it goes to, yeah, I was there. It's like, yeah, I might have held him down while my friend beat him with an axe.
I don't want to I don't want to give murderers tips. But you know what I mean? A lot of the times you can keep your story very, very simple. Like, I went into the bar, I had a smoke, and that's what my DNA, like, you know what I mean? Instead of telling a big elaborate tale about banging this and doing that, you know what I mean? You're just setting yourself up for the kill. Like, be smarter. Right, buddy? Don't bring your cell phone.
Moral of the story.
Moral of the story. If you're going to kill somebody, keep the phone at home.
Don't be a Duke fan and, yeah. Don't bring your phone with you. When's the last time you got good news on your phone anyways?
Never.
Ever. Anyone ever called you? Hey, I got great news.
Friends don't call anymore.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage on radio. Great stuff with Mark Lawrence earlier. Man, a wealth of information.
Sure.
It's a crazy amount of information. In this week's playbook,
great numbers. Like, he breaks down every single angle, every single statistic. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, some key stats here leading in. We talked about Michigan being in a bad trend spot. You know, these trends and these numbers, though, they're sort of reliant on past NCAA history, right, as opposed to specific teams. All right, so we're getting a lot of tweets from people that are in Vegas right now. We were just in Vegas, and you know what? I wish I was still there. It was a great time. One of the people that we were hanging out with was Lou from Gamblu.com, a true gentleman. Lou steps up. What's up, Lou?
Not too much. Cam, Gabe, how are you guys doing? I think we all made it back safe and sound to our respective homes.
Barely.
We barely made it.
I wanted to check in with you on Saturday, Lou, but being the rocket science that I am, actually booked a Saturday night overnight instead of a Sunday night, and I only clued in at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon. I was like, man, I got to leave in 6 hours suddenly. And then that led to chaos.
Genius.
You know, it actually worked out well. It actually worked out well because Michigan won. I got my money, and I got in a taxi, and I went right to the airport after.
Great point. If we had another day of bets, like think about if things were going to sour. Like you got out of there on a high note, and that's tough.
Yeah, I didn't love the game Sundays either.
That's the thing. You got the money. We hit the plane. Everyone wanted us to stay, too, Lou. Like, guys are like, come on. We'll take you to the strip club. You're not going anywhere. It's like, guys, no, we got to catch this flight. It's unbelievable.
We had one guy. We had one guy that was like, listen. He pulled out a stack of money. He's like, look, I got money. We'll handle your ticket later if you miss the plane. And I'm like, dude, like, what are you trying to ruin my life here? Like, I got to get on this plane. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a great story. But, I mean, part of knowing how to get to Vegas, that's about 20% of the deal. 80% of the deal is knowing when to get the hell out of Vegas.
It's a good point. Yeah. Put it this way. I was upset I had to leave, sort of, but I dealt with it. I realized it wasn't a bad thing. You're right. What do you think? You think Circus, they probably wish I didn't leave. They're like, he'll lose the money in the morning anyway.
That's the thing.
It's like, I took their money and left.
It's like the scene from Owning Mahoney. Talk to me at 4 a.m. You know, when Mahoney's crushing them, and at the end, all he has is nothing but dry ribs and a Coke with no ice.
Yeah, that's
that movie makes me cry, actually.
That's the moral of the story. So
Is hit and run, baby. It's all about hit and run.
Hit and run.
There's no UFC this week, Lou, but the Khabib Ferguson fight is around the corner. Looking forward to this one. The number just keeps climbing, man. Every time I check in with this, Khabib's a bigger favorite.
Yeah, it sets up to be a great fight with, a contrast in style. If I could call anybody better than world-class wrestling-based fighter, it would be Nurmagomedov. But let's not forget that Michael Johnson in the first round lined him up and popped him square on the chin a couple of times. And I don't think he wobbled Nurmagomedov, but he definitely startled him. And Ferguson's going to have some height, 6 inches of reach, so we can't disregard Ferguson, to be quite honest with you. But all of that said, this is not a fight that I'm targeting simply because I don't like the dog or the dog price here. I'm looking for value in other parts of the card. And the next fight you bring up, I'll expound upon greatly.
Which is from the main card or the undercard there, Lou?
Yeah, I wasn't planning on bringing up the next fight. Which one?
I'm looking. I was going to start off with Dunham and Aubin Mercier, but where you take us? You know what, Lou? Take us wherever you like to go down the dog path.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, the co-main event is a rematch between Rose Namajunas and Joanna Champion.
That's
a good one.
That's a fight where we had Rose in the first fight, and the reason we had Rose was because Joanna was taking the young champion rise to meteoric fame train and drinking champagne, buying designer jeans, taking flights, doing all kinds of press conferences and getting used to the paparazzi, but she forgot to train for the fight, and she got humiliated. So in the first fight, Joanna Champion opens 450, and she closes somewhere in the 700s. In this fight, she opens 210, and you can get her right now minus 135. This is a run. Don't walk to the window and go bet Joanna right now, because you're going to get a great value on her price, and you're going to get her best effort since she became champion. Now, is it enough to beat Rose? I surely think so, but we could lose the bet, but we're getting such great market advantage. This is a really, really opportune spot for Joanna and a terrible spot for Rose.
You could tell at the time that Joanna was falling into the pitfall. She was such an aggressive and tough chick. But as you stated, you could see she started to get more glamorous, more makeup, more glamorous, more, hey, I'm on the Jimmy Kimmel show, or she was on Conan O'Brien, or she started doing the TV hits, started to embrace it, believe her own hype a little bit. Often happens. I get it. One thing with Rose, though, And I'm a big fan of Rose, but I agree with your angle on this fight a lot. I was surprised that Rose beat her the first time, even with Joanna's distractions. And Joanna always used to get beat up early in fights and sort of dig down deep and then take it to another level. But one thing with Rose is, Namajunas, is unlike so many of the champions and female champions as well that go for the glitter and the glamour and right away of being the champ, she really isn't. Like, she doesn't fall for the pitfalls of fame, Lou. Like, she's one fighter, male or female, that she doesn't care about being famous. She doesn't even want to be famous. Like, she doesn't want to be on a Conan O'Brien show. She doesn't. Look, she shaved her freaking head because she got tired of people saying how hot she was. And she is damn hot. But she shaved her head. She's like, I'm not a sex symbol. I don't want to be known as a sex symbol fighter. So she shaved her head. Like, she's definitely not the type of fighter that is distracted. Like, I think Joanna can beat her, but Rose isn't falling for the trap that a lot of champs do. I can guarantee you.
No, I would agree with that. But Rose's limitations aren't her mentality. It's her physical ability to fight, and I don't think
she can stand up game. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think she can stand up with Joanna, even despite what happened in the first fight. I watched it. I know Joanna got iced. But this is going to be a new fight, a new night. I don't think Rose is the class fighter that Joanna is. I could stand corrected, but I will say this. I think this will be the last time in you know, several months, maybe a couple of years, where we're going to be able to see Joanna minus 135. What a steal.
This is like the Hooked on Phonics card, guys. See some of the last names of these guys? You got Grutzenmacher, Magomed Sharipov. Like, it's pretty. I'm looking at some of the names
look
here.
Look at the difference.
So wow, look at her. She's very pretty.
That's her.
Yep.
That's her with hair.
Ooh, she looks a lot friendlier with hair, I'll tell you. Bald, she looks like she's going to knock your teeth out.
Exactly.
She looks tough, Lou.
See, look, like she used to sort of look like, you know.
She looked friendlier with hair.
Yeah, very pretty girl.
She is very gorgeous. Know? Yes, gorgeous, in fact.
Yeah, but you see, like, she got the cheekbones. She looks like a model, actually.
She really does.
But, yeah, she didn't like that. Like, people were hot.
Show me from my fighting. Don't worry about my looks.
Enough of this. Exactly. It's one day she showed up just completely shaved. And she's never gone back. It's worked. It's worked for her, but she's a nice girl. I pull for her. That is going to be a hell of a fight. You know, it's not a bad card. You brought this. Listen, I brought this up on Twitter earlier about, you know, the major fights are few and far between right now. But the Poirier-Gaethje fight, that's going to be a nice violent fight. Condit and Brown's kind of a throwback murderer's row type of battle between those two fights. So there's some decent fights on the horizon. What's your early lean? Surprising to see Michael Chiesa as a 140 favorite against Anthony Pettis. And, you know, Pettis isn't a fighter that he used to be, but it's just one of those, wow. I mean, Pettis is the one that used to be on Wheaties boxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what a fall. And it just goes to show you. But Pettis has tread. I mean, he was fighting back in the WEC days against Gil Melendez, Benson Henderson, and the likes.
He should go to Glory.
Career.
He'd be perfect in Glory, Lou. You know, seriously. You can strike, you can kick, so why get taken down in the UFC? Just go to Glory.
Play to your strengths?
Yeah, go to Glory. Kickbox, you know?
That makes sense. But, you know, these kids and you know, these aged fighters that, to me, are still kids, you can't tell them that. They tasted the limelight and the top organization, and that's what they thirst for. And the older fighter, doesn't matter what organization or what era, they don't get it. And they fight too long and end up getting put to the glue farm. It's a cruel sport.
We don't want to mention glue farms, Lou.
We don't like that.
We like our horses alive, but we don't want to send them anywhere but the winner's circle, friend.
He's fourth place last day.
Yeah, it's okay. We would never take him to the glue farm. It's funny about me and Gabe, too. It's actually like we've owned this horse. He's out for 5 months. Like, some guys are like, I'm doing another radio show. He's like, kill him. Kill him. I'm like, well, no, we're not killing the horse. We're going to pay the money to bring him back, right? We're like, we're humanitarians, Marenzi. We should be working for PETA on the side.
Yeah, any person that says
kill the horse, I don't like
kill
it.
Our horse, I'm not going to your funeral.
Exactly.
No, well, that only happens if the horse is injured that you have to. But, I mean, any animal, hell, the animals are closer to the Lord than the freaking three of us are and all our listeners, too.
Great point. No, I was just going to say, if he can't run anymore, we'll take him to a petting zoo. Like, we're not going to kill him.
Absolutely.
It's not part of the plan.
Let the kids ride him, whatever.
Hey, Lou, you got an opinion on Moicano and Qatar in these fights in the main card here before we go through? I know we talked about the first two fights. Any value on the favorite or the dog here?
Yeah, I need more study on the rest of those matchups. I'm glazing over them real quick. I can tell you that the Magomed Shapirov, Bosniak, that first fight, that'll be a lawn boy going over spring grass. I mean, Bosniak is just going to get completely belly-hooed in that fight. I give him credit for showing up. And as I look at the rest of them, I think they're going to be competitive, but I want to do a little study before I come out. The other one is Caceres that fights here in the MMA lab against Connor's buddy Lobov. Lobov's going to get leveled.
It's actually with the high school with a guy, Alex Caceres. He was a killer, too. Don't mess with any guy named Caceres.
You know what? There's a you've got interesting woman's fight on the undercard as well. Felice Herrig versus Carolina Kolakowicz. Herrig's been on a nice little second win run right now, Lou. And speaking of hot, and I don't say this, it's offensive to say this. It isn't offensive to say this because every second picture that she posts is of her ass. But she's got a great ass, this chick. All right, so we'll put it that way. With Felice Herrig, she's a tough girl. She's been around forever, and she's always the underdog. She always has this attitude, oh, I'm going to beat this young girl, and I'm not done yet. And I give her credit for that, Lou. But Carolina, this Kolakowicz chick, she's on another level, man. She's just a little bit below the top. I think she could beat anybody else. Normally, I'm not in a hurry to lay minus 200. I see some minus 190s here, but I don't think Felice can beat Carolina. Carolina's going to beat her, man. She's just so much better than she is.
I read it the exact same way that you do, except that I'm not going to lay the price. But I do think Carolina is on a different level. I also believe that Herrig's last fight, she got her arm raised against Casey, but I don't think she beat Courtney Casey the way I judged the fight. So she was in a really tight one. She steps up in class, and I read it the same way you do in that fight. I do like Kowalkiewicz, the Polish girl.
All right, Lou. So before we get you out of here, the NHL playoffs are around the corner. You started to gear in yet? Yeah. I know you like your hockey futures. Did you play anything when you were over at the South Point this weekend?
I did, and I'll share them right here because I want you to get the price. Everybody's asleep on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's not forget last year with a really, really young team. Here comes Tortorella into the playoffs. They were favored in that first series. I even want to think it was Pittsburgh. And they got humiliated, this young team. And just like two or three years ago, when the Preds got beat by the Ducks or the Sharks, I think it was the Sharks. The Sharks didn't beat the Preds. Travel did. And last year, inexperience beat the Blue Jackets. This year, they got no excuses. They're going to be a dog in their first series. Take them. And they're also a 60-1 underdog or 60-1 price that I took at the South Point before I got back to win the cup. That's great value. I also
that's
took
insane.
Minnesota
that
Wild.
Is insane.
I'm seeing them at 18-1 right now.
60-1.
Yeah. 18.
They're a hot team too. Oh my God.
Yeah, but in Vegas, they also had Vegas at 300-1 before the year started. They got some whacked hockey futures
sure
out there.
They sure do, buddy. Oh my God.
It was a little, Uncle Louie. If you spot an opportune price,
we dropped the ball, not looking at the sheets.
We did look at the sheets. Columbus was 15 or 18-1. I brought the sheets back for the Masters. And another thing, I was supposed to do a bet for Vizine Vince on the Jets. They had them at like 8-1, where they should be like 18-1. Like, there's no – that's good, Lou. That's great shopping by you. Great shopping.
60-1. Yeah, I see the Blue Jackets. 18-1.
Yeah, 18-1. Exactly.
Yeah, I got 60-1 on them. I got 30-1 on the Wild. That's another team like the Blue Jackets. It's playing
22-1, I see online. So you got better number there, too. Yeah.
The last one is on the East. Here's everybody overlooking your Washington Capitals, who were chalky last year in the playoffs. Now everybody thinks they're dog meat. 12-1, sign me up. I took them.
Oh, that's the one you got ripped off. 15-1.
Yeah. Your portfolio is still strong, Lou.
I think you did well with your number shopping.
I like to get the best of the number, and I flubbed up there, but I still think that Washington, especially that first series, is going to be live.
I didn't hear you taking Vegas in any of these teams.
No, Vegas is a pure fade. In the West, I took some position early,
and tweeted it out 2 or 3 weeks ago on the Preds. The Preds got unfinished business, and they're going to be a force to deal with in the West, and I think it's going to be Winnipeg that challenges them.
You see what happened last night, Lou, though, before we got, Lonnie got hurt last night, their best sniper. He tried to block a shot like a flamingo, took one. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but the Jets better hope, because without him, they're going nowhere.
Yeah, they'll put some tape on him. He's back by the playoffs. We'll see. That's a good point.
Wish we could have hung out with Lou more. We only saw him for a little bit, too. Well, his trip was too short.
Too short, Lou. But Lou's a busy man. He was in and out of Vegas. We'll see you again this summer, Lou, either for the IFBC or for the Las Vegas Super Hilton. Maybe I'll come down this time for that golf. We can go play golf at the Las Vegas Country Club there. But your class act, Lou. It's great hanging with you, buddy.
Great meeting you both. Have a great week. We'll speak to you next week, guys.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Our boy Scott in Vancouver making excuses for the local media. Travel day with no shoot around. Won't be any updates until Casey talks to the media about an hour before tip. It's called a scoop. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, great. So, in other words, I can just watch Casey's press conference later then and figure out who's playing.
Correct. Update from the golf. The two biggest favorites we talked about. Rory down to Peter Uihlein, 5 up through 12. So this match could be on ice in a few minutes. And DJ trailing to, I like my burgers burnt, Weisberger. Burnt Weisberger, 1 up through 15. DJ on the ropes.
Not surprised at all.
No, we talk about it. The big guys who are Masters favorites and stuff. This is a great tournament to fade those top-tier guys, I think. Because, you know, one of them might win. You like Day? I like Rom. Those are the two picks we have from the chalk at 14-1. But, you know, some of these other guys, be very careful with.
Jason Day was the one favorite that I liked.
No, he's good. He's good, Gabe. He won his match today. So that's a good start for you. And I got John Rom, and he's up in his match. So as long as we come out of the gate a little bit hot, that's good news. But, hey, this is great news. If we can get Dustin Johnson and McIlroy out of this tournament, that really opens up the door, buddy.
All right. We're going to go over all of our best bets for the day, but it's a time right now. And I don't know, are you at your post, Florio?
Florio?
All right,
how you doing?
Stuff. Give us that same music that Nando interrupted the show with yesterday.
I have to find that.
It's very game show-ish.
Yeah, we're gonna play a
Toronto Raptor beat writer. He's like, I don't know where that is. All right, play something game show-ish. All right, jingle-ish. How's that?
You got it.
Okay, sounds good. So, Gabe, what are we gonna play today?
Well, we gotta wait for the music.
Okay, sorry.
Gonna wait for music now.
Gonna wait for the music.
Yeah, you know, we're not throwing Florio under the bus. We're throwing this on him. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's good. Welcome to Card Sharks.
It's time for another edition of What's in Cam's Bag. All right, just keep the music going. All right, let's take.
You want to dig in?
Let's take a
Be
look.
Be careful.
I'm like customs. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm scared to reach in. All right.
Loose blue bag with what's in there?
All right, Cam's got a computer sort of bag.
With a mouse?
With a bag.
A mouse, yeah.
You've got a bunch of point spreads printed onto paper.
Yep, scoresandodds.com. What's underneath that? Oh, it's a pizza coupon.
Oh, you've got a pizza box.
Actually?
You've got a box of pizza buried under a lot of stuff in here.
Is there? over under. This is how we play the game. What's in the box?
Oh, you're telling me there's not actually pizza in the box?
There might be something in the box.
All right, open the box. What's in the box?
What do you think's in the box?
I have no idea.
Come on, just guess. You could say full piece, crust. Like, give me like the over under. Come on, give me some. This is the fun part of the game. What's in the box?
What's in the
hold
box?
On, let me
hold it.
Shake it. What's the? Ooh, it's got a little bit of weight. Not a lot. How many?
I'm saying you're carrying around fried chicken in a box.
Good guess. I ate it last night at the Go Stop game. I ate it while waiting for the train in this box.
Tim has a pizza. Oh, he's got a couple
two
of slices,
slices of pizza and two crusts.
So Cam walks around. He's got a pizza box with slices. How long's that box been in there? When did you buy those slices of pizza?
3:14 Eastern.
Oh, this afternoon.
Yeah,
right.
This afternoon. Yeah.
Are they still kind of warm in there?
Kinda. A can Coke in there?
So you have no concern about, like, your clothes in here smelling like pizza and having, like, pizza on top of your clothes?
It's laundry day tonight, Gabe. Don't worry about it.
All right,
I got some pills.
You've got a...
I got a big Ziploc full of pills.
He's got a big Ziploc. No. He's got a massive Ziploc bag, but with, like, six pills.
Yeah, six pills.
What pills are those?
They're kind of like a vitamin C energy slash getting a cold
type
pill.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. Another pizza coupon, more spreads, a blank piece of paper, golf picks.
What's up with the printed spreads?
I don't know. I got a printer at home now. It's fun to use. Oh, yeah. And for everyone who guesses, free $2 instant lottery ticket. Found that at home.
Yeah, that's like your get-out-of-jail-free card. You like to have a lottery ticket.
I love these little packets of juice. These are emergencies. Those are good. Oh, yeah, here we go. You said it. A golf shirt. It smells like pizza now, and it's looks pretty gross. It's been in there for a few days. Socks. Yeah,
that shirt went through some damage in Vegas, actually.
Mystery pill bottle. What's in there?
Mystery pills.
And I got some Zantac, Tylenol, Gravol, and aspirin.
Well, you got a mixture in one bottle there?
And one for... And
that's like Cam's potpourri.
Yeah, take a look. All different colors and sizes. Yeah, I take my heart medication in there, too. You can't be stuck. What else do I got?
I like how you have your heart medication just
hey, buddy, look at
tossed
it.
Loosely next to an
hey,
air freshener.
Hey, Gabe, I'm an air freshener.
Pizza in your box.
Yeah. A piece of fabric softener. I don't understand.
Yeah, why not?
And the best is?
Yeah, you've got a bunch of plastic
Nine bags. Because I don't like to pay 10 cents for bags at the grocery store.
So what, you're bringing your own plastic bags
yes,
to the grocery store?
Yes, they always ask me, you like bags? I go, no, I got my own. Thank you. I got a Hall's Mentholyptus.
See, the whole point of them charging you for the bag was so you wouldn't use more plastic. You bring plastic to the store.
Gloves. Hey, $5 ticket to somewhere. I don't know. I think, oh, yeah, that's from the Golden Nugget Buffet.
Cam's got a $5 raffle ticket that has no name on it.
No, just a
what are you going to just randomly try to use
that? The winning
that
ticket is 781057.
You should try to use this at the local Chinese restaurant. Mr. Wong, here's my $5 coupon.
Gabe,
oh, no, Mr. Stewart.
The side pocket's the best, though.
Oh, the side pocket. Oh, yeah, you're rocking. Well, your side pocket's rocking today.
Take a look at the McDonald's coupon booklet there.
McDonald's
That's
coupon
huge.
Book, yeah.
TD bill for $5,000 on my Visa.
I don't
That's
like
fun.
That.
No, nor do I. Circus horse tickets. burger coupon for $15. $15 coupon for the movies. A packet of Fisherman's Friends. Orange Julius gift certificate. Dairy Queen. What else do I got?
Dairy Queen's a good look. It's a good franchise.
I'm going to tell you something.
There's not enough of them around. They're hard to find.
Great point. I'm going to tell you something.
It's not fast food. It's fast
food. Fast. And I'll tell you something. Dairy Queen's really up their game. Their chicken tender. You know what? And their gravy is delicious. You can drink it.
What else you got in the side? You got a lot of stuff in the side pocket today.
This one's fun. Yep. Bill from the government.
Seems like you're carrying all your paperwork with you today.
I am. I am going through. I'm doing my books before I see the tax lady, but I owe a lot of money. TD Bank warning letter for late payments. What else do I got? Oh, yeah.
The old warning letter.
A drink ticket from the bar that we're at. Circus. Can't use that one anymore. Boston Pizza gift certificate. And, yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah. Sorry, buddy. You're going to love this one. Random unscratched lottery tickets.
Oh.
One, two.
When you scratch a couple of them live right now, see what happens.
And a $50 gift certificate for Shoeless Joe's. That's what I got paid for
wait,
the Super Bowl.
Hey, I'm going to Shoeless Joe's this Saturday. You coming down?
I think I might have
with
to make
Jimmy
a trip.
The bag.
Jimmy the bag.
How can you go wrong?
What's in Jimmy's bag? Not this.
Yeah.
Want to scratch a ticket on air?
Stuff that would get him arrested at customs. I'll tell you that much.
Want to do a cash for life?
Yeah, scratch. Okay. Scratch. Cam has got a bunch of lottery tickets just random in his
bag.
I'll
let you scratch
them
too.
No, no, you can scratch away. I'll just bring you back.
12 bucks, 12 bucks. I need one more. Come on.
One more 12. Let's go 12.
No.
One more 12.
Just our luck. Two 12s, two lives. Yeah, there we go. This sucks.
Two lives. What's that?
Yeah, it means if you get three cash for life, so you get cash for life. You're never going to win.
Ooh.
Life, no. $4. You could tell. Just we're losers, man. We're not going to win a scratch ticket. Here we got $50.
Nobody ever wins scratch tickets.
No, it's a loser purchase. I just, you know, I was jonesing to scratch. Let's see here. It's $20. Actually, hold on here. Hold the presses. Nope. Thought I won $4. Ticket cost $4. It's a push.
Did you get $4 your free ticket back?
No, I didn't. I got nothing, Gabe. Nothing right now. $50. Whoa, nope, nothing. Lucky symbols. Come on. Free
Lucky
dinner.
Lucky symbol.
I got a pineapple. It's golf. Ooh, it's a golf bag. This might be good. $20. $7. $50. And nothing.
Our boy Stooch tunes in. He goes, the Ziploc bag full of pills made me lose it. Laughing my ass off. No. He's got a massive Ziploc
bag. Yeah, like the one,
like
the freezer
bag. Five pills
in
the bottom.
It's true. I should have like 500 pills in there. But no, it's...
Cam loves his baggies.
I like the double bag. I carry things around there.
I like the fact, though, like you've got a plastic bag with like 9 plastic bags inside the plastic bag.
Yeah, I didn't open up this one. Let's take a look. Oh, here it is.
I like the casual late warning. Yeah, late warning for failure payment.
Yeah, this is the best. Your line of credit statement, Mr. Stewart. Oh, no. You didn't pay this month. You're down $15,090.50.
Yeah, don't worry. Conflict Diamond made us $473 last night.
I'll just knock 70 up.
We split half with our new trader.
Yeah, so what do we get? Half to 250? 125, better than nothing. Wow, I wish I had this in the bag, Gabe. Your Kimbo Slice UFC action figure.
Yeah, unopened.
That thing actually might be...
I'm keeping it open.
You know what?
Yeah,
that might be worth money.
Poor Kimbo passed away.
I know. That thing actually go down to like Golden... What's that place called? The Golden Snail comic book shop or whatever?
Yeah, you can play What's on Gabe's Counter. Yeah, Kimbo Slice action figure.
Yeah, what's on Gabe's
package.
Counter? What's on Gabe's Counter? Loose tobacco. An old card. Cookies. A Kimbo Slice action figure in bag, a shirt that's unopened. What the hell is that? Punishment.
Team punishment.
He's got team punishment gear. He's got an old stick of right guard, a half tube of Pringles, gloves, a screwdriver, old CDs, a horse magazine, a used cigarette butt, 25 cents, Buffalo Bills toque, a light. Bulb? What the hell? That's the best. I love it. You keep your... What the hell? A dustpan? Like, just throw it on the ground. You're keeping a dustpan on the countertop.
And don't forget...
Don't forget the artisan bread.
Yeah, don't forget about the Montreal Expo Russian.
No. Oh,
who is that? Galarraga? Pass him over here.
That looks like Andres Galarraga,
Pass him over here.
Honestly, if anyone would have guessed... Oh, it's a Russian doll. Oh, another one comes out. Oh, this is fantastic. These things, that's really cool,
man. Is there another one?
Yeah, there's two Andres Galarragas inside his head.
There is.
I told you. No, that thing's worth money. Oh, no, there's a mini guy.
You know what sucks?
Dude, that thing is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This would be good to hide your pills in.
Yeah, I agree. Great call. I need an Andres Galarraga pill hider. Put him in the bag, Gabe. yeah. That's great. Yeah, more horse tickets. It gets boring after that.
Demp predicted double stuffed Oreos, a couple of McDonald's, McDoubles, and a bottle of cherry Coke.
Close. You got
Cam doesn't drink Coke. He's a Pepsi guy.
No, actually, I'm drinking a Coke today. It was on sale. When it's $3.99, I switch allegiances, buddy.
Craig Martin says that the gravy is so good you could drink it, said Cam Stewart.
I did. Oh, Dairy Queen's gravy is top of the food chain. It's really good. It's bordering KFC right now. Like in a battle of like gravy gold, I'm in.
All right, Tristan Thompson and Rodney Hood out for the Cavaliers.
Oh, you and Steam Shrimps, you guys put multiple lineups together tonight, right? I got a hockey lineup for you guys too.
I don't know what gives you a bigger headache, man. Vince Neil's Dockeries or NBA DFS.
I know.
Seriously.
It's tough.
Really, man. It's freaking ridiculous. You try to put together a lineup earlier in the day, and it's like, man, you're playing against you're playing against all these injuries and all these new options right now.
So what happens if you put a lineup in and nobody is void? Because for sometimes if you put it in, they give you your money back.
No, you get screwed.
Really?
Yeah, you get screwed. So like the other night, Tyreek Evans was a late scratch. You don't get any points for him, and there's
a nightmare. That's an absolute nightmare.
What they should do though is
call it void.
If he hasn't played yet, you should be able to
insert
slide
another player
in
who has not played
instead
yet
of shutting the whole thing down.
I agree 100%. And you're probably not going to get the guy you want, but it's better than nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Remember, I tried at like 59.5 seconds, and I thought
because it went green, and like it did a different color, but it didn't really seem to matter. Like,
listen, look at this. We know we got listeners today, guys, and we appreciate you tuning in. Look at this already.
Gabe, I'll take that Kimbo slice for $50. No, Mark, we love you. More. I think you can probably get.
All right, Cam, what's on the floor over there? There's a bunch of unopened.
Oh, yeah, hold on. You want me to go try?
Come on. Tell me, do I have another Kimbo here?
Yeah, hold on. Take a look at those. I'm going to give you one, actually. You know what? Don't worry about it. KFC, I've already flagged the four best coupons. Two got your name on it, buddy. Hold on. Let me go look for what's in the corner.
I feel like ordering from KFC right now. Even though it's expensive, man. I got to tell you, a bucket of chicken would kick our ass right now. What else do we have there? I've got an unopened Forrest Griffin.
Got a lot of dust on them, though. We got to clean these up. Come on, Morency. Like, what do you do? It's almost like you buried these guys alive there. It's like it's got like a film.
Tito Ortiz not really worth anything.
Actually, you know what? It might be just for the Tito Ortiz.
The whole
factor.
Thing with Kimbo.
You got a lot of miscellaneous flags too. You really like cheering for other countries for the World Cup. Gabe's got an Argentinian flag, I think. There, I think I see something from South America. Yeah, you like flags?
No, I used to, it was from the last World Cup. I had the flag for every country in the World Cup.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. I'm call. An international man.
And a Proline mini knapsack I see on your shirt.
That's the worst knapsack ever.
You can't even fit
a computer in it. Oh, who makes a backpack that you can't put it, like, what am I supposed to put in that?
That's my point.
Proline tickets?
Yeah, that's about it. It fits, know what it fits? At most, a 5-pound bowling ball, but not a 10. Like, it is small. Very small.
You know, I like Mark T, but 50 seems a little low.
It's actually a pretty good offer. I don't know what it's worth.
I think the action figure to begin with is about $25.
Just taking off the dust.
I'm not really looking to move it, though. I like Kimbo Slice.
You know what? This one's actually in really good shape. Looks good.
What's the name of this? What company made this?
It's UFC. It's actually called UFC Ultimate Collector, ages 5 and up, Kimbo Slice.
Ages 5 and up. How much is a Kimbo Slice?
And there's 5 in the collection. You could have had BJ at Prodigy Penn, Michael the Count Bisping. You got Forrest Griffin and Tito. Actually, you know what? You have 3 of the 6.
I have them, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
All right, UFC Deluxe. Here it is, Amazon.
Yeah, I like T-shirts in bags, too, Gabe. You just keep your T-shirts in. It's kind of like they're comic books. Are they going to go up in value?
Dude, Tito Ortiz sent me like 20 T-shirts once to give away to people. Yeah. I got 2 of them left.
Well, why don't we give a punishment shirt away to somebody?
Because
but you got to pay for your
pay the shipping and handling.
That's right. If you pay the shipping and handling, Gabe will send you a punishment T-shirt in bag, not worn.
Still in the bag. Yeah, team punishment. If you're a Tito Ortiz fan,
still in the bag. Where'd you put my coupons, friend?
Oh, yeah.
Don't get too quick with those. Hey, sorry.
You just said you were giving them to me.
Actually, no, I'm going to give you.
Oh, you're giving me a few coupons.
Yeah, it's a whole booklet.
That coupon booklet looks like it's 2 years old, bro. Like, where's the expiration date?
Incorrect. Expires April 22nd. This is fresh from my mailbox yesterday.
It just looks that beat up.
No, let's keep it in the bag. You want 4 pieces and fries for $7.69? What are you looking for? A bucket? A barrel? What do you need?
Oh, man, it looks like I got a pretty unique one here.
Yeah? Yeah, it's actually, yours is from the older model. Very interesting. I told you, these things might be worth money.
Okay, we're going to track this. I'm going to try to figure out what this is worth.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app,
or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're trying to find a value of this.
I can tell you one thing, though, from a guy
I've seen it as high as $99, yeah, no. But I've got a more limited one than the one that's out there. And since he's dead, there's actually a market. I keep clicking. They're like, no, it's sold out, sold out, sold out.
From a guy that knows collectibles, I told you, like, I had old comic books and hockey. I still got hockey, football, baseball cards in my FootJoy box at home. And for a desperate situation, they will be sold. But I'm going to tell you, your Kimbo Slice action figure is more realistic. It's thicker. The other ones are more no, the other ones are more like G.I. Joe's, where yours is actually a more, like, it's a bulkier product.
You know,
it's
the one I got,
worth
though,
about $40 more.
It's more limited. We're going to get to the bottom of this. It's you know, it's not like finding Joe Montana autographed football UFC stuff, but we're poking around
here.
Did
I tell you the time I had a Joe Montana rookie card and a guy took it from me? I had a flea market or basically a garage sale when I was a kid because my dad's a hoarder. He's got like 17 shovels, 37 hammers. Some guy's like, you got sports cards? I was a kid. Took me to the cleaners. Gabe Dan Marino rookie, Joe Montana rookie, Warren Moon rookie. Guy took me for about $5,000. I'd like to kill that guy if I could ever find him.
Is Tony lurking yet?
Lurking. Is Tony lurking?
Normally I hear him breathing.
Yeah. Yeah, lurking.
There's usually like big noise or something like that going on.
Yeah, I don't think he's lurking yet. I think he'll be around. He'll be lurking soon, though, very soon.
Drewzilla in New York says, we've gone from playing What's in Cam Stewart's Bag to old school Wheel of Fortune, selling stuff off of Morenci's studio floor.
I like it.
And what else do I have on the floor we can sell?
I got to, unfortunately, those flags aren't going to get you much. That Proline knapsack might get you 10 cents. That Michigan shirt I actually wore the other day, that microphone looks like a piece of junk. That's like one from like a kid's store. That's about $2. You got a pair of pants by the door, tearaways. Somebody might, you know, if they're fans of yours, they might want to wear what Morenci wore. I don't know. You probably get $10 for those. And, I haven't searched.
Actually,
you know what the best is?
That bag is pretty interesting. Take the clothes off the top of the bag. There's a lot of crap.
Well, I was going to go actually to the garbage bag, but I think you want to go to the hockey bag.
Yeah, check what's in that hockey bag. I'm not really even sure.
It's heavy.
It's pretty heavy. That's why I can't move it.
God. Like, what, I got to go work out here? You got a lot of clothes here. I'm just going to throw them down. Okay, you got a manila envelope with nothing in it. You got a Buffalo Bills hat, like, from the Chalk Knuck style. Like Chalk,
one of those, like, free Budweiser
hats. Yeah, that's like a free Budweiser Bills hat.
On the floor.
Actually, I kind of like it, though. It's like a good old man hat. You should have gave it to the Jayhawk fan. Yeah. He likes those type of hats. And I found a cable with some...
Yeah, that's good.
That's a very thick cable. You probably get $5 for the cable.
My cable.
God, I got to open this thing. Tell me there's no old hockey equipment in there.
I don't even know. What is it?
It's a nice bag, though. Oh, my God. You got a fake replica World Cup statue. You got press credentials from the party grand opening weekend at a bar called The Pint. I've been there, actually. 40-cent wings on Raptor and Leaf nights.
Well, let me see that.
I don't even know. I didn't see you there. Let me see here.
Grand opening party weekend, The Pint in Vancouver. I don't remember that. No, in Toronto. Oh, really?
You have a newspaper.
What's the date of that?
Random newspaper. Goins, gone. Walk-off homer in 10th. Wins it for first place. Jays. Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. Random paper. So when the Jays did some damage? Yeah, there you go. It's a playoff
edition.
Hold on.
Let me see this bag. Let me see the paper.
Okay, there might be something in there.
Why would I have a random paper?
You have an AT&T.
My ex-girlfriend.
Actually, I want this. You have an AT&T San Diego Chargers headband. Take a look at that.
Yeah, don't throw this here. I don't want this all over the place.
Got a deck of cards called Monopoly Millionaire Card Game. I don't know what the hell that is. God, man, what the? Just a lot of, like, packages.
Who gets a package in the mail and doesn't even open it? You haven't opened this. Like, there's some. It's from Mike Cardano. Like, what's I don't know. My, it feels this? Like a T-shirt.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, my God, dude. What are you doing? Oh, my God.
Got a package from like you.
Yeah, you got a birthday card from me.
Is this thing gonna blow up on me?
I have no idea. Morency, old business cards. Oh, this one's good. The Little Book of Bad Taste by Carl Shaw. It's pink.
Let's see that book.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know.
The Little Book of Bad Taste.
Bats. The man behind the miracle with an all-new afterword on the amazing 1986 championship season of the Wow. Bats. Look at this one. Wow. I'm speechless. Cables.
Listen to this. The Little Book of Bad Taste here, Kim.
A photograph of clam chowder. Yeah. Old business cards.
It's like pawn.
Oh, my God. Look what we found.
What you got there?
Sports Rage, September 23rd, 24th. Two shows on CD.
Isn't that cool? So yeah, this one's piece of history.
Yeah, this one is Sports Rage, January 30, 11:30 p.m. Oh, my God. It just never ends. A Sunshine Girl. Friday Football Bonanza, Toronto Sun, Friday, November 28th, 2014.
14.
Coward just left us there.
Why do I have...
Hunt for a lowlife who hit sisters with SUV, lied that he would call 911, then fled while the 16-year-old was unconscious on the road. Why do not I have a sports section there.
Why do I have a newspaper from 2014? Like, this is the junk I'm carrying around.
Empty book to write your... There's not one thing in there. Just no, an empty notebook. Cool. Actually, you know what? Keep that one out. You might need that for if you ever come up with an idea or a lyric. Wow, you love your random papers. What's this one? Release the Hounds. Friday, yeah. Like, what the hell? You got papers from 2014. Like, you're not even in them. It's just the Montreal Alouettes, proud papa. Oh, ex-NFLer Steve Tasker, overjoyed at the chance to come to Vancouver and watch his boy Luke play for the breakup.
Random.
Wow.
Random newspapers.
Man.
Yeah, I really got to go through, like.
In Control. The rebirth of an NFL legend, Thomas Hollywood Henderson. In Control. Great, great cover shot. Wow. I can't go through your bag anymore, man. It's just, it's really heavy and there's a lot of stuff in there.
It's a lot of crap in there.
Whew. Wow, that tired me out. Great. I didn't even know you went to the grand opening of this bar.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Can I have this AT&T Chargers headband? I should probably give it to Jeff.
I think it was Firebreaks.
Yeah, well, it's yours now.
I think it was just there.
You're like, I might as well take some.
Yeah, like I'm wearing a Chargers headband.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to work out.
Stuke says, what's in the bag works with anybody. Yeah. We just need mystery bags. We want to find out, like Stooch just said.
What's in Tony's bag?
He says, tell Tony when he comes on to just grab a bag out of his place. We want to find out what's in Tony's bag.
I like it. I went through Portuguese Joe's bags the other day. It's really weird. He's got all sorts of weird stuff.
I wouldn't be going through Portuguese Joe's bags.
No, he's fine. He said, go grab the bag. Like, everything's cool. There's just a lot of stuff in there. A lot of documents.
There's probably some stuff you're better off not knowing.
That's true. Very true.
All right, so DeMar DeRozan is playing.
Hey, yeah, good reports there, beat writers. Told you he was going to play. I could have just told you that. He is going to play.
Yeah, he is playing. So now we like the Raptors now. Now we like the Raptors. What's the line now?
Good question. Let's go check it out here on the
odds. Oh, they went from +1.5 to -1.5.
Yeah, let's...
Still, the Raptors -125 on the money line.
Yeah, I see a 120 here. Yeah, -1.5, 120. So pretty low. Total 227.
We're playing it. We're in.
Total 227.
We're in. We just clicked it.
Perfect.
No turning back.
Nope. No turning back now. Looks like, yeah, wow, this is, oh, God. You can put the kiss of death on my, Rory's just won two holes in a row.
Oh.
Come on. It's not over yet. Anyway, but.
Did Fleetwood lose? It's official?
Yeah, Fleetwood's done. Yeah. He lost.
Good stuff, Fleetwood. Might as well bet on Stevie Nicks to stay sober.
Cocaine through the orifice. What else do we got here? I'm trying to find it. Ah, come on. Yeah. I know Dustin Johnson's in big trouble. I think he might have lost. So, yeah. Yeah. Matthew, yeah. Dustin Johnson lost to Bernt Wiesberger, 52 beating a one.
Matthew Fitzpatrick is up two up through nine against Kyle Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Kuradash Afer-Barnrat.
He's our guy.
One up through 11 against Chez Reavy. Your boy, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. One up through 12 against Kodaya. And Brian Harmon, one up through 14 against Johnny Vegas, yeah, who's Johnny. Not from Vegas. He's from Colombia.
Hey, correct. I know, but his name's Johnny Vegas, like, which baffles me.
Well, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's more like Jonathan, but Jonathan. It's, Jonathan Vegas. Yeah, just great last name, Vegas. It's
like Jonavision.
Yeah. Jonathan Torrance.
Johnny Vegas. It's a great name.
Oh, I know. That's the thing.
You're Johnny Vegas.
Exactly. You're exactly right. I like the Raptors tonight, too. If it stays, I'd love it to stay under. Just take them on the money line. You don't have to lay 1.5. Take the 20 cents.
I'll share some of the picks that I have so far here this evening. Western Kentucky, plus 6.
Hilltopping.
Yeah,
going hilltopping.
The thing with this one, what I don't like is the Hilltoppers played in Los Angeles, California on Monday night and beat the USC Trojans as 5-point underdogs outright.
Yep.
They're not an NBA team. They're not used to traveling like this. They're not used to playing like, oh, we're in L.A. one night, and now where are they? They're in Oklahoma City, Stillwater. So now suddenly they're in Stillwater tonight. Yet, I don't know, they're kids. There's adrenaline. I don't know if it's a trap. I was going to avoid it. I'm going to go with the over, too. Let's go Western Kentucky plus the 6 and Western Kentucky and Oak State over 149. And I tell you what, I was on Utah Utes the other night against LSU. They smashed
murdered them in the first half. The game was over.
They're going to give St. Mary's some problems. It's 6.5. I'll buy the half point up to 7.
Actually, down to 6 in some spots, so people aren't stupid.
Is it? Is it really right now?
Yeah, I got the live line. 6, 140 is the total. Oklahoma State, the line opened up at 4.5, went up to 5, 5.5. Now, you said it, 6 flat, laying 15 cents.
No, I'm seeing total. 6.5 here.
Really? Okay. No.
Yeah, I'm seeing.
We're on different sites. I'm on scoresandodds.com. You're on, okay. Yep, same.
6.5 and 6.5.
Could be a big hook.
Going to make them both up to 7 by that half point.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. Western Kentucky at Oklahoma State, that's a very, very tough game. But Utah's a dangerous team. We watched them play this year. But you brought up a good point about St. Mary's. Didn't you say our season is a write-off if we can't win this tournament? Like, basically, St. Mary's is all in. The Gales are all in this game. Utah, they're okay.
Yeah, just because teams are all in doesn't mean they win.
They're a pretty good team, though. St. Mary's is pretty good.
I've been all in on a lot of games and haven't won. I've been all in on with relationships and didn't win. I've been all in on a lot of jobs and didn't win. I've been all in on a lot of things.
I'm an all in guy too, buddy. It hurts. I know.
Being all in.
All in blows. It'll hurt you.
All in. Oh, yeah, it's good to be all in, but that doesn't always end. Hey, listen, I'd rather be all in than never in.
Exactly. If you never take a chance, you haven't lived.
You'll
right?
get ahead.
Exactly. You got to take chances in life.
It's like Bobby Riggs says, life's a gamble.
It is. It's a big gamble. We're having a good week, though. I want to keep the train rolling. Last night, Gabe had a piece of the Boston Celtics on the weird line. I know a lot of people like Oklahoma City. Crazy ending to that ball game. 2 missed free throws and then the basket. And did you take the points with Portland or money line?
Both.
Oh, me. Peter paid Paul.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I got greedy and I took some more in-game and I screwed it up. But, yeah, I went 2. I could have went 2. I actually went 3-2 in the game still. All right, so looking at the NBA numbers tonight. Philadelphia 76ers are 13-point favorites over the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies are a beaten down team and stuff, but I'm just not interested in laying 13 pass. And it's minus 1,200 on the money line, so there's no need. I'm not even going to mess with it with parlays. Toronto Raptors, now that DeMar is in, Lowry's in. I'm not sure about Van Fleet, actually. We'll find out about Van Fleet. I don't think Van Fleet's playing, and I think CJ Miles might be out, actually. But Hood is out. Corver's out. Tristan Thompson's out. It's just whatever, man. It's the NBA. It is what it is. We'll finalize these injuries with Tony Cincata in a couple of minutes. But for betting purposes, I like the Raptors, Cam. There was a look ahead last night against Orlando. They still won anyways. Yep. They're just a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers are. Charlotte and Brooklyn, I don't have a lot of interest in this one. The Knicks in Miami, I don't want to lay 10. I've been riding the heat wave. They've been good to me, but I'm not laying a 10 spot.
Nope.
Denver Nuggets laying a 9.5 on the road against the Chicago Bulls. A lot of points.
Sure is. I have no faith in Denver covering that number. They've been playing in some long games. They had that double overtime game against Miami, too, where we were both on Miami and they covered.
I hate doing this. I got to take the Bulls plus 9.5.
Yeah, well, sometimes, hey, bad teams can cover.
It's out of principle. It's like the Dallas Mavericks last night covered.
Yep. What do Indiana Pacers and Pelicans? That's a tough game.
I like the Pacers there.
The lines moved, though. The Pelicans have gone from a favorite to Indiana's now the favorite in that game.
You know, why is that? Because people knew that the smart people are betting it.
Yeah, exactly. Tough. Spurs and Wizards. Spurs.
So what is, you can look at it and say, well, they're trying to trap you in about betting the Pelicans. That's what they're doing. They're saying, hey, we'll give you the Pelicans plus one. How come you don't take it?
I don't want it.
You know what a way to go in that game is? Over 220. That's what you do in that game. Pacers, Pels, over 220. The P. Diddy parlay of the night. Tempted by the Wizards, plus six.